Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon this morning is the gospel lesson. Jesus' words in verse 27 and following, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." This is the text, which immediately follows in verse 31 with, "And they took up stones again to stone him." And so we have two parts of the sermon. One is the response, and the other is the relationship. And we'll deal with the response first. So what was it that Jesus said that offended them? Well, basically, he had laid out a number of claims. And among these claims, it's not only that he said, "I and the Father are one." He also claimed to give life, and if that wasn't enough, he claimed to give eternal life. And he claimed that those who belonged to him, no one could snatch them out of his hand. And so, let's see, if you were among the Jewish people and religious at that time and believed that there was no possible way that he could be the Christ, well then, when he made those claims, the appropriate response would have been to stone him. I heard this taught some years back in a presentation that ran this way: Jesus is either liar, lunatic, legend, or Lord. It's fascinating how it was laid out. Still remember, it proceeds through four questions, and the four questions are: number one, did Jesus exist? Well, if he didn't exist, he's a legend. Second question, if he did exist, did he claim the things that the Bible says he did? Again, if he didn't, then the disciples made it up, and again, he's just a legend. But then, third question, if he made those claims, did he believe them? If he did not believe them, that would make him out to be a liar, saying things he knew was not true. But if he did believe them, then comes the fourth question. Fourth question is, are they true? If they're not true, then he would be a lunatic, claiming to be God. But if they are true, if the claims of Jesus are true, then he is the Lord. If his claims are true, he is the Good Shepherd. If his claims are true, then on Good Friday, he went to the cross and he shed his blood for the forgiveness of sins of every man, woman, and child in the world. If the claims of Jesus are true, then in him and in his name, there actually is eternal life. And we stand in front of the world and we say, his claims are true. He's our Lord, our Savior. He is our shepherd. He's our good shepherd. He is the one who watches over us. It brings us into the relationship that we have with Jesus, and that amazing relationship of the good shepherd and the sheep. That relationship, let's use a word for it. What our whole life as Christians is all about, and we'll call it, it's all about sheepness. Okay? You've got to have that sheepness. And it binds everything together. So in being the sheep of the Good Shepherd, you look at it from a couple different perspectives. One is from the perspective of the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd Jesus watches over us. The Good Shepherd Jesus knows us. The Good Shepherd Jesus holds us in his hands. The Good Shepherd Jesus is with us from beginning to end of our lives. And we've seen something of the beginning here this morning, haven't we? Oh, and being baptized into the relationship with Jesus and having Jesus call him his own sheep, having Jesus call him by the name of God, placing the name Father, Son, and Holy Spirit upon Owen, entering into that relationship, and then saying, and this relationship, this is not just for today. This is not just for a little while. This is not just for this life. This relationship with Jesus Christ, this is forever. Jesus and Owen are linked together by the name of God, by the Word of God, by the waters of baptism. Yesterday we had within our congregation the burial of one who was near and dear to us, Darlene Hansen. And that's at the end of this life. But still, Jesus, as the good shepherd, watched over her, kept her, guarded her, brought her to the Father's house, where now, as her good shepherd, Jesus keeps her safe for all eternity. And then there's all the rest of us who are in between those two parts. From the perspective of the sheep, this business of sheepness, it sums up in two things. It is hearing the voice of the shepherd, that's one. And number two is following. That's all it is. Just that simple. The hearing and the following, and that is for all eternity also. But here's where the trouble comes in, isn't it? Because hearing the voice of the shepherd, there are other voices. There are other claims. There are others that would want to steer us away from Jesus Christ. The devil attacks. Yeah, the devil. The same one who, back in the Garden of Eden, questioned the voice of the shepherd. Has God said, and you will not surely die? And so the devil comes along, and he has his own voice and his own words. And it boils down to, so whose voice will you hear? Whose words will you take into your heart and soul? The Good Shepherd calls us. The Shepherd, again and again, because he knows that day by day through this life, we have those challenges, and not only from the devil, there's also from everything else in the world that would distract and lead us away from Jesus Christ, and then from our own sinful flesh, the sinful nature that pulls back, that holds back, that does not want the things of God, that wants my things, only my things. And so the challenges are there. But the Good Shepherd comes time after time after time, and Jesus speaks to us. He reminds us of his promises. He speaks words of life. He tells us of forgiveness of sins. Again from Jesus. My sheep hear my voice. We know the voice of the shepherd, don't we? When we hear the words of Scripture, when we hear the promises of Jesus, we know deep down inside this is the voice of our shepherd. Voice of our shepherd calling us. The voice of our shepherd laying claim on our lives. The voice of the shepherd linking himself with us. The voice of the shepherd offering everything that is bound up in what he has done in his life, in his eternity, in his heaven, sharing that with us. So the voice of our good shepherd calls us. In one way, the whole of Christian life is a practice of hearing the voice of the shepherd until the day comes when, and this is toward the beginning of John chapter 10, the good shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And if we've been practicing hearing the voice of the shepherd all our lives, then the voice of the shepherd calling on that last day in this world is nothing different from the voice of the shepherd calling us any other day, every other day. And when the shepherd calls, he calls us with promises of eternal life. How's this possible? There has to be something that empowers all of this. And again, we find that in John chapter 10. The middle of the chapter, it's where Jesus says, "The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." And this brings us right to the heart of everything. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus is the one who has done that. In his suffering, bleeding, dying, being laid in the tomb, and then on the third day rising from the dead. In that act by Jesus, all of the power of heaven is unleashed into our world. And Jesus brings to us Easter, eternal life, resurrection. He brings to us the Word of God that has eternity in it. His words as the Good Shepherd are eternal words. And if the eternal words of the Good Shepherd are inside our souls, in our hearts, those eternal words bound to us carry us through all eternity. But it had to be paid for. The foundation had to be laid. And it is laid in the cross of Jesus Christ, giving us forgiveness, giving us life, giving us eternity through what he has done. The disciples learned this. Thomas, who for a while did not want to believe, for a while held back, and then Jesus says to him, "Thomas, reach out your finger and see my hands." And Thomas sees the risen Lord, and he knows what has happened on Good Friday and on Easter, and that all of that is for him. And Thomas knows eternity. Peter, sitting there with Jesus, having breakfast by the sea. And Jesus says to Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" And for three times that Peter denied Jesus, three times Jesus calls him back. So it is. The good shepherd seeking his sheep, the good shepherd claiming his own, the good shepherd binding us over and over again in that relationship. And we've seen that happen because it's a thing that happens constantly. Year to year, generation to generation, age to age. It goes on. The words of the Good Shepherd are eternal words, and so they are words from God to us in our day, the same as they were in those days right after Easter. We've heard the Word of God. We've seen how Jesus Christ takes his Word, combines it with water, and washes us to place his Word in our hearts, to call us his own, to mark out our bodies as belonging to him and sharing in the resurrection. And then later in the service, the Good Shepherd will call us to table. And there he will give us his own body and blood, given for us and shed for our forgiveness. And again, Jesus binds himself to us and us to him, so that the Good Shepherd may be the good shepherd for us for all eternity. There's eternity in his words. There is eternity in Jesus. And there is eternity in what Jesus has done this morning for Owen. And that's sweet. Yes. And how sweet it is indeed to be a Christian.
In Jesus' name, amen.